This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the evening edition. You're with Caroline and Ezra. Now, in April of last year, the government launched the Malaysian Global Innovation and Creative Centre, or MAGIC, to provide resources to support Malaysian entrepreneurs. A year and 8 months down the road, MAGIC has set in place a long list of programs and initiatives, all in an effort to cultivate a stronger culture of entrepreneurship among Malaysians and turn the country into a regional hub for startups.
So these initiatives were led by the centre's first CEO, Cheryl Yeo, who spent 12 years in Silicon Valley before returning home to helm MAGIC. Now, she's with us today to give us a report card of MAGIC's achievements so far. But before we get into that, it was announced a couple of weeks ago or a week ago that, Cheryl, you'll be stepping down from your position this coming January the 14th. So if it's okay, we're going to start with that. Reports have been a little bit vague from what we know. All we know is that it was a mutual agreement between yourself and the MOF. May we ask why you decided to leave?
Oh, it wasn't that I decided to leave. It was just a mutual agreement that that would be the end of my contract. So I've been at MAGIC for almost 2 years and completed most of my programs and KPIs that I promised the board as well as during the interview panel for my position. So it was only the right time.
Right. And how do you feel about leaving?
Of course, I feel bittersweet, you know, like bitter because I'm sad to leave my team. I've built the whole team from, you know, I was employee number one. So seeing the company from 1 to 10 to 20, 50, and now about 70 or 80 plus interns, we have almost 100 people. Sad to leave the team and the entrepreneurs and everyone we've supported. But sweet because, I think we've come a long way, as you mentioned, in 2 short years. We've done a lot, so I'm pretty happy that my team is now, they have a solid foundation from which to build off of, and they're very committed to staying on to continue on the programs.
So, Cheryl, I guess before we look at the report card per se, I mean, you must have had a certain vision for MAGIC. Maybe you can share with us and maybe remind our listeners what that was and how do you think you've performed in the past year and 8 months?
Definitely. So I remember I first met my chairman, that's Dr. Irwin, the SecGen of Ministry of Finance, in November 2013 when he first came to Silicon Valley to, meet entrepreneurs there and also look for the CEO of MAGIC. So when they were, trying to convince me to take on this position, I did mention that technology is very important to as we want to develop entrepreneurship in the country. So when they finally appointed me in February 2014, my chairman actually published a statement and said that MAGIC would have a focus on tech entrepreneurship as well as social entrepreneurship. And that's also when they announced an additional budget of 20 million ringgit for social entrepreneurship. So I want to clarify that during my interview before this position, I did have a comprehensive plan for what I wanted to do for Malaysia, which is, I think I've managed to execute maybe like 95, if not 99% of my original plans that I presented to the interview panel. So it was very much the original plan, the original mandate. And I think there's a bit of confusion as to what tech startup means. When people say tech startups or ICT, which is our area of focus, they tend to think, oh, it's so niche. It's just mobile apps and websites. But the work that we've been trying to do in the past 2 years is to educate the public that, tech exists in every form of industry now. Whether you're F&B, retail, agriculture, transportation, education, the little smartphone in our pocket is transforming the way we communicate, the way we do work, the way we live. So you cannot ignore technology when you're creating new entrepreneurs. And that's the kind of work that I'm trying to spread.
So why do you think, I mean, you brought up an interesting thing about tech being, I guess, compartmentalized into this afterthought, when in fact it's integrated into so much of what we do. Why do you think that misconception exists either in people who were, I guess, interviewing you or either in folks who are just still trying to come to terms with what tech represents?
That is a really great question. And I think this doesn't apply just in Malaysia, but other countries I've been to as well when I'm doing my work researching ecosystems in the world. I think it's because in the past, different ministries have set up industries, right? Like there's an agriculture department, right. There's a fishery department, you know, XYZ. And then tech was a separate like ICT ministry, right? But I think times have changed. Times have changed, and maybe we just need to rethink the way we structure ministries, even perhaps, because technology is permeating every single industry. So I think there's a bit of that legacy, and then there's a bit of people not understanding what technology means. People are afraid of it. People, you know, think that coding is only for the geeks and the yeah. smart people, but it's not true. It really is not true. Anyone from their homes can create a website now. And if you are running a business, if you don't have a website, say you're a hair salon and you don't have a website, how are people going to find you? How are you going to push out that next promotion and email your customers to come back, right?
Yellow Pages is still not the way to go at the moment, unfortunately.
So what are some of the Magic's programs or initiatives that you're particularly proud of? And perhaps you could elaborate on the social entrepreneurship side of it.
Social entrepreneurship is a relatively new thing in Malaysia. And so it is a big opportunity for Magic to play a big role in it. And we have been given the mandate. And I think it's easier for us in a way to be a thought leader in this because there isn't as much, perhaps, legacy from other agencies working on this. So Magic has taken the lead in publishing our blueprint, our social enterprise blueprint, and also a 101 guide as to what social entrepreneurs are, what enterprise means. And then going forward, the team is very strong and is looking to pass a few policies so that social enterprises can gain certain benefits for being labeled as such.
Right. Considering it is new, relatively new, I suppose, as you said, has it been challenging?
I mean, the challenges are very different from, say, high-growth entrepreneurship and startups, right, which is more mature and requires more ASEAN global-level thinking. And I didn't really come from an SE background, so I've had to hire a team that has deep expertise in that, which is Ehon Chan, who, you know, came back from Australia and the UK to lead this initiative. The challenges are more on awareness. So the team has gone through... So this is where Magic has two sides. There's a team going outside of Klang Valley into different states to really bring awareness towards what social entrepreneurship is. And what we've discovered is people in maybe suburban areas and outside of Klang Valley are very intrigued with social entrepreneurship because they want to create a business that impacts their environment, impacts their immediate communities. Whereas in the high growth entrepreneurship, it's definitely more inclined towards the Klang Valley group of entrepreneurs who wants to take their companies global, regional. They want to conquer the ASEAN market.
Just going back on those, I guess, two divisions, if you wanted to call it that, you had the social entrepreneurship and you had the tech entrepreneurship. What was exciting about coming back to Malaysia and focusing on the innovations that would revolve around tech? Because what were you excited about and hoping to execute in the medium to long term?
Well, when I came back to visit, I was really surprised by the sentiment around startups, the number of talent that we have. I just saw a lot of untapped potential. And I had this goal that, oh my gosh, Malaysia deserves so much more. Why are we not on the map already? Why are investors, skipping Malaysia and going to Thailand, Vietnam, and Indonesia, of course, Singapore, when Malaysia is really the region where we produce the most number of successful tech entrepreneurs. We have the highest number of IPOs in the past 10 years. All these things are just not known. So I felt like the challenge for me was to come back and show how much potential we have. And I remember one interviewer asking me during my interview for this position, wow, it seems like you have a lot of things you want to accomplish for Magic. If it's just one thing you can do, one thing you can do at Magic, what will you do? And I told him almost immediately, I would put Malaysia on the map. So that was what got me excited.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because it feels like almost in other younger industries, Malaysia seems to have had, whatever you want to call it, a lead of sorts. And I guess squandering a lead is something that we're very, very well familiar with. But what were you hoping to do? Was it a case of connecting the dots so that there was more cohesion happening within this particular industry?
Yes. So I think we have all the right ingredients. We're just maybe not coming together on a platform in a way that inspires people or people believe in. There has to be a neutral agenda. There has to be a platform where people believe in and trust and respect. And then everyone comes together, right? And we've seen that happening at MAJIC. And I think it helps that I'm, in a way, Malaysian coming back, you know, and bringing some outside international perspective. I don't have historical context or baggage, and so to speak. I don't owe anyone anything.
Right.
So for me, I think I've been able to execute a lot of what I wanted because I don't have that.
Baggage.
Yeah, exactly. I try not to say that too much, but in essence, yes.
All right, we're going to continue talking with the outgoing CEO of MAJIC. It's Cheryl Yeo in the studio with us. It's the evening edition, BFM 89.9. You're back on the evening edition, Caroline and Ezra here in the studio with us is the outgoing CEO of MAJIC. Of course, we were speaking about startups and entrepreneurship. Cheryl, I wanted to ask you, in your time, how has MAJIC changed or affected the ecosystem for startups and entrepreneurs?
Great question. So I think multiple things. I mean, I can churn out a list of KPIs and, you know, success stories, but I won't do that. You can read that on impact.mymagic.my. But I really want to talk about the underlying sentiments that have changed, perhaps. I think what we've managed to do is we've created a critical mass on a very neutral platform that people believe in and respect. And that inspired a movement by the masses, by the public sector, by the private corporations, the GLCs, as well as the government agencies. And what I mean by that is people coming together to mentor, to give back. You see corporations from Asiata to Kazana to Sunway Group or YTL Group, coming together and wanting to offer co-working space, create funds, create new accelerator programs. Whereas I think before that, there was only one accelerator program that's called 1337, Lead Accelerator. And then now there's 7 programs, and Tune Labs started one as well. So I think we've seen a movement of just people coming together, wanting to understand what startups are and wanting to get involved. And also, I think 2 years ago, the sentiment around startups are still, I don't understand what it is. People are afraid to jump into it, to start a company or to join a company. But we've seen that change dramatically. Now everyone is trying to work for a startup, or trying to start a company. There's no longer the stigma and taboo. Well,
I guess it used to be a buzzword that you would, see on, Mashable.com or something. And now I guess it's something that Malaysia are actively engaging in. What do you think has made that leap happen? Because it's been a very, very short period, but of course a very interesting period as well.
Mm-hmm. I think we had a strategy that's focused on the community. A lot of it is focused on listening to entrepreneurs. What do they need? What are your roadblocks and challenges?
What are the roadblocks and challenges, incidentally?
So we had a dialogue in June last year because I wanted to really hear, like an entrepreneur, like a startup would do, they always interview their customers before they create the products and solve problems.
Right.
And so I ran MAJIC like a startup, right? So my customers are the entrepreneurs. So, a lot of them talk about talent. Like there's not enough talent training and the right skills. So we started MAJIC Academy to address that. Mm. And then, of course, funding, right? Investors always, like I said, miss Malaysia. And now in the recent MAP Accelerator Program Demo Day, we saw over 150 investors from around the world coming to Malaysia just to listen to these companies. So we've addressed that too. There's other issues around MSC status. And we've addressed that with MDEC, where we came out with MSC status for startups. So now you can get an MSC status without being tied to an MSC block or, a certain location, right? And so proud to say we've actually solved 80% of the issues raised by the entrepreneurs.
Oh.
So when we did that from the very beginning, we gained the trust of the community that we're actually here to listen. We're actually here to solve your problems. We're not here to just do whatever we think is right. We're not here to copy Silicon Valley for sure. Very little things that I've done are actually copied from Silicon Valley.
Let's touch on that a little bit because you spent about a dozen years or so in the Silicon Valley and taking on this position. Were there certain things that you were observing, say, well, I think that's something that we could implement, but it's dependent on these certain variables about how the ecosystem is, how the current scenario when it comes to top-down approaches or whether it's a crowdsource approach. I mean, what were your concerns and what were you excited about?
So just to clarify, I spent 12 years in the U.S. I actually started my company in New York City when it was a financial hub. It wasn't a tech hub yet. And I saw how New York City transformed itself into a tech hub within 3 years. So actually, a lot of my playbook is being taken from what New York City did, how General Assembly inspired Magic Academy, and how they built a community. How do you educate investors who typically invest in real estate to actually invest in tech and startups, right? So all these things I've learned. And also being in Silicon Valley and selling my company there gave me a perspective of exits. And this is something that I don't think enough countries and governments, as they're developing ecosystems, they focus enough in terms of exits. Because ultimately, if you look at the ecosystem, building an ecosystem, people always say ecosystem, but they don't actually understand what it means.
Right.
If you look at the map of an ecosystem, the startups are in the middle and there are multiple players. The goal is to help these startups achieve success at a regional global level, right? Then looking at the ecosystem, then you need to see where are we now? Where are the places where we have assistance and where is it lacking? So I think being in New York, being in Silicon Valley, being in North Carolina, when I actually participated in my first accelerator, gave me a very good perspective that's not just like Silicon Valley, right? And then also learning about Startup Chile. And, you know, a lot of our accelerator program is derived from that. Chile is dependent on natural resources and they're trying to innovate, and so is Malaysia. So also gaining that perspective.
And so when we're speaking about, some of the assessments of the past year and 8 months, what were some of the really difficult challenges that you were trying to implement? Or were there roadblocks for yourself? Because, of course, you're trying to solve roadblocks for entrepreneurs and startups. How about yourself?
Definitely what I mentioned just now in terms of correcting the perception that tech or ICT is a industry in itself.
And that's very difficult because, talking about baggage and legacy, you have a lot of people, and even in the private sector, actually, a lot of people who they haven't bought into this whole tech thing. They haven't bought into the advances of social media. They haven't bought into a lot of these different ingredients.
But, if you ask them questions, do they use Facebook? I'm sure they say yes. Do they use WhatsApp? Yes. Do they use Waze? They use all these technological products, and at the same time, they're saying, oh, no.
Yeah, and there's a disconnect, which I don't quite understand. I guess that was a challenge for you, in trying to connect that. Yeah.
So that, and then, of course, there are various stakeholders who feel that they have a say at Magic and they want to exert their influence and tell us what to do. So, we had to be kind of careful about...
Diplomatic.
Very diplomatic, correct. And try to, go and take everyone's advice and be like, okay, we'll definitely take this to note. But also making sure that we stay true to our mandate, stay true to what we're here to do. We want to just focus on doing the right things that will move the needle for the country.
How is your team? I'm really curious. How is your team? Because you're known as a really passionate leader. I'm just wondering how your team took to you leaving. Do you take your magic with you?
Well, I think the team was, of course, sad. I think some people were shocked. Some people saw it coming. And right after I told my team, thankfully, before the news broke out, I had small lunches and dinners with every one of the smaller teams to make sure they're okay, to make sure they feel safe to stay and they feel empowered to continue on the programs. So far, I think everyone's been okay. I think they're looking forward to the new CEO. Of course, there's uncertainty about that. I think they're just thankful that we've had this chance to make such a big impact for the country. And like I said, everyone's super committed to continue on the work we started.
All right, we're going to continue talking with the outgoing CEO of Magic. Cheryl Yeo is in the studio with us. We'll be right back after this. BFM 89.9. It's the evening edition. Caroline and Ezra here. I've been speaking about the Malaysian Global Innovation and Creative Center, or MAGIC. The outgoing CEO, Cheryl Yeo, is with us in the studio. And I guess, Caroline, we were speaking a lot about changing mindsets and different cultures. And I think there's something about MAGIC in itself that needs to be addressed in terms of what's so unique about it.
Yeah. You said, Cheryl, that you sat down with your team. You talked to all the small teams one by one and just explained to them why you were leaving and what was ahead for them. So it seems to be very much a culture that you've developed and you've put in place. Tell us a little bit more about what's different and how Magic operates differently.
Yeah, I think what my team loves so much about working at Magic truly is the culture, and it's something that I really hope the new CEO can continue, is this culture of empowerment that, they feel that they can, it's very flat hierarchy, so they feel that they can voice opinions and projects and it will be accepted. It's a culture of transparency where every week almost we have an AMA session, like Ask Me Anything. We call it a data rate session where we put a VP on a hot seat and I get on it too and they ask us anything and we will just answer it very transparently.
What kind of questions do they... I'm really curious. What kind of questions do they ask? Because a flat hierarchy isn't easy to manage, I imagine.
It's not. And sometimes there are sensitive questions like, why does a VP get a parking spot and none of us do, right? And then we'll have to answer that. To some really controversial questions that I wouldn't mention here, to some very personal questions like relationships. Right? And we would answer it. And that's the culture that we love because we don't feel like we hold something back and we trust each other. So that's that. But also, as you know, I don't know if you know, actually, this power distance index. Malaysia has the worst power distance index in the world.
In the world?
In the world, if you Google it up, right? Which means the people on top feel that they have authority to direct to the bottom and the bottom has no say. And the bottom also feels that they have no power. They want the top to make decisions. So that doesn't exist at Magic.
At Magic. I'm wondering how difficult that is to implement, considering it's so much a part of our culture. It's so much a part of who we are. We find it difficult. I mean, here in BFM, we have a flat hierarchy as well, as much as, and we try to. But for new people coming in, we find that that is a problem. You do look for that guidance, you do look for that authority.
That certainly is a challenge, but I think most people, after, say, 3-6 months being at Magic, they get into it and they get it. Of course, it takes some training, but we have a weekly team meeting, for example, where so every person from intern to executive to newbies get to see me and interact with me every single week. When someone comes into our company, we get them to stand up, introduce themselves, and tell us all an interesting, embarrassing fact about yourself. So there isn't that wall anymore.
Cheryl, there's going to be at least a handful of listeners listening right now. Well, you know, I run my own company and I enjoy a little bit of hierarchy every now and then, and it seems to work for them. What's the value add for having, I guess, less of that power distance index?
Yeah, it makes them feel empowered. It makes them have more ownership. They're more passionate about doing something. So they give their extra 10%, the extra 20% when you do that, and they feel happy, right? And the culture radiates from there. So if we are an organization trying to change the country for the better and inspire entrepreneurs, we have to be inspiring ourselves. And so I believe everything comes from within. So similarly, I think the company's growth can only grow as far as an individual team members' personal growth. So during our team meetings, I also work on a lot of personal growth sessions. We do exercises to improve communication skills. How do you give feedback the right way? How do you, actually be more self-aware about different personalities in a room? Like you could be extroverted communicating with an introvert. There are different styles to do that. So every week, we pretty much work on these themes within the company.
I want to ask you, when we're speaking about entrepreneurs and how important it is for them to be, I guess, internationally exposed, either at an early or a late stage, and how far away are Malaysian entrepreneurs from that scenario?
It's very important, which is why, so our three major pillars is educate, expose, and accelerate. And this comes under the expose pillar, where we do work with Stanford University on a 3-year partnership, but we also work with regional partners to send entrepreneurs to Thailand, Singapore, Indonesia. If we want our entrepreneurs to have a global mindset and to create global companies, and they haven't been outside of the country, how can we ever expect them to expand their businesses outside, right? So we do, select entrepreneurs from competitions and, application processes to really make sure that they have a wider perspective of other markets in the world.
And have you seen it translate much into how they operate than their startups?
Totally. So I think that so many entrepreneurs that we sent to, say, the Stanford program in Silicon Valley came back thinking, my gosh, like I've just been operating under the assumption of the local market the whole time. And so many companies have came back and changed their models entirely to make it more scalable so that they can expand 10x. And some of them have definitely achieved that. So we've seen that happening. And what we do is to tee up a lot of sharing sessions so they actually spread how they've actually changed and so that it becomes an inspiration to other local entrepreneurs who might not have been as lucky to go there. But, you know, all these things takes time, right? You don't have overnight successes at these companies. So to build an ecosystem, you might only see the full breadth of our success stories in maybe 2 to 3 years from now. So, yeah, so it takes patience. But what we have is that we know the sentiment has changed. We know that there's a whole, the masses have, you know, all jumped on the bandwagon and they're all on the same boat and we're speaking the same language. And I think that is a major change for us.
We'll find out what's next for Cheryl Yeo. She's the CEO of Magic, or rather the outgoing CEO. It's the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. It's the Evening Edition. Caroline and Ezra here. We're speaking to the outgoing CEO of Magic. That's the Malaysian Global Innovation and Creative Center. Her name is Cheryl Yeo. And of course, in the past 45 minutes or so, we've been speaking on a range of things on social entrepreneurship and tech. Cheryl, what are your plans moving forward? But also, I guess, what are some of the blueprints that you've left in terms of the foundations of Magic?
I'll start with the last question. So I have left a playbook. I will be publishing it in maybe a couple of weeks to share how I thought about building the ecosystem. What I hope that future management team will do is perhaps beyond the foundations, the educate, accelerate, and expose pillars, is to think about one, removing roadblocks in terms of government policies to make it easier, even easier for startups to operate, foreign and local startups alike. We can't forget the foreign entrepreneurs, as well as focusing on where are all the exits and acquisitions coming from in the region? Because without exits, why would investors want to invest in startups? And why would people want to leave MNCs to start companies if they can't get an exit, right? And in my personal opinion, Magic's mandate and goals should change every 2 to 3 years. It shouldn't be fixed. It should be like
things
a startup.
Things are that fluid, I guess.
It is. Yeah. I mean, in today's world, things are changing so quickly. So if you're very rigid, you're not evolving according to market and entrepreneurs' needs, you may become irrelevant. So that's my wish for the team going forward.
I guess Christmas is around the corner. And if you had a Christmas wish list in terms of maybe changing some of the things that you have done in the past year or so, what would you change? What would you have done differently?
This is a tough question that, you know, I'm taking my 3 to 6 month break to actually think about this. I don't want to just say it here. There's a lot that I want to reflect on. Of course, taking time to recharge and travel as well and be with family and friends. But I actually want to take the next few months to properly think about lessons learned and what we did well, this is my wish list for the future. So keep an eye out. I'll be publishing it hopefully sometime next year.
Because unfortunately on this program, we don't have 3 to 6 months, but
hopefully we'll still be here.
Yeah. And I guess for somebody like yourself, you know, leaving this position and it's laid out the foundations for what's coming up next. What do you think could be the potential for something like Magic? Or what do you think is the potential for tech, for entrepreneurs, for social entrepreneurs? I mean, because you must be, as you mentioned, it feels all very bittersweet at the moment. But what do you see as the potential?
I mean, in a way, we've seen how other countries are now looking at us and Magic for leadership and thought leadership in terms of how we drive the ecosystem. So I hope that we can continue to carry that because, like I said, I saw the potential in Malaysia. We should be leading in this specific, in startups and entrepreneurship because we have the talent, we have the ingredients, we have a lovely country, we have the right infrastructure. So I'm just hoping that we can continue that momentum. And as much as I can continue to be involved in the ecosystem, I will.
All right. Cheryl, we wish you all the best and thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Folks, we've been speaking to the outgoing CEO of Magic. That's the Malaysian Global Innovation and Creative Center. If you missed any part of this program, you can head over to our website at bfm.my to download the podcast. It's BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.